This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a 6-session series on introspection. Introspection has long been a problem for many people because they have difficulty listening within. They have difficulty hearing what the divine has to say within them. The following will be 6 lectures on our introspective self. 1, stillness for introspection. 2, listening within. 3, playing the game. 4, imagination. 5, hearing within. And 6, responding, acting on what I hear. Today we begin with our first session entitled Stillness for Introspection. What are the types of stillness that we work with? What are the types of stillness that are available in our life and that are working with us in our life and all the things that we are attempting to do with? What are the types of stillness? Well, we think that we have to go into some sort of a cathedral, which is quite lovely. Or we go into a forest where the light is just sort of caressing down through the branches of the trees and sparkling on the surface of the earth. Or we sit by a bubbling brook or by the edge of an ocean or a lake. Or perhaps we're at the edge of a meadow or even in a meadow. We're lying down in the meadow itself with our arms out stretched and we're looking up into the vastness of the sky and to the allness. And we feel that that is a step toward introspection. We feel that when we hear a beautiful talk, a beautiful lecture, a beautiful sentiment by somebody that turns our heart on, that that is introspection. Well, those are merely introductions to introspection. Introspection is perhaps the most private, quiet, peaceful self-experience that we could ever want. Introspection has nothing to do with another person. There's no other person who could ever lead us into introspection. No other person could ever show us the pathway to introspection. Many will try. Many will proclaim that they have the way. Many will say, sitting in the yogic position and being very attentive to your inner self is the way to find it. And perhaps for some it will be that way. But that is not the way. Introspection is a very personal thing. Introspection is when you find peace within yourself. When you find that you like yourself. When you find that there's nothing in this world that needs changing. Least of all you. And I mean, you say, wow. We really should be changing ourselves because there's a lot that needs to be changed in ourselves. And when you get into introspection, you will find that there's nothing that needs changing. Nothing that needs changing. For what we will be doing is that we will be being ourselves. And when we are being ourselves, we are not pursuing anything. And when we're not pursuing anything, we're not trying to live up to something. We're not trying to live down to a peaceful life from our riotous life. What did the father of the prodigal son say to his son as he saw him coming? Behold, my son who is lost is found. And this is what our consciousness says to us. Behold, our soul, which was out on a busy street, running around, doing all the things that it felt were important, has come home. And all is well. All is at peace. You see? That is a step toward introspection. The types of stillness are many, but it's different for every person. This type of stillness may be the meadow. You may sit at the edge of the meadow, but You know what you're going to do? You're going to hear the meadow lark. You're going to hear the birds singing in the meadow. You're going to hear the crickets cricketing in the meadow. You're going to hear the frogs croaking in the meadow. Oh, how lovely, how beautiful, how distracting. When we can sit quietly and hear nothing, we're doing very well. And that's not easy. That's not easy. You can go to the farthest reaches of the world, and you can be sitting in quiet meditation. And then, somewhere in the vast heavens, at 36,000 feet, a plane is going by, making its engine noise that says, oh, there's life up there. And then you're aware of it. And you thought, surely out here in the middle of nowhere, on the top of Mount Kilimanjaro, on the top of Mount Everest, surely there'd be no noises. But there are. On Mount Everest, just like the Swiss mountains, avalanches slide away with the side of the mountain. Now, they don't have to. They don't have to. But you created them because you expected them. You thought that that would be charming. Now, if you could go on the side of the mountain in Switzerland and sit there and meditate, sitting right on the peak of what might be an avalanche that could fall at any moment, and if you sat there untouched in the peaceful inner self, there would be no avalanche. And if there were an avalanche and you were so in peace, you'd be sitting on the peak of that avalanche as it traveled down the hill, untouched, unbothered, and then it would virtually settle at the bottom of the hill or the mountain with you still sitting there, untouched. And then, when you chose to leave that peak of snow, you'd walk away, the highway would be right there, your car would be right there, you'd gone up the hill. But you see, you'd be untouched. When we are peace, when we are stillness, there is nothing to change in the world. And you do not need to be in the avalanche. You don't need to be sitting at the peak of the avalanche. You don't need to have anything to demonstrate to you or to anyone else how wonderful you are. Because there's no one listening. There's no one listening, not even you. Because you know how wonderful you are. You have already said, I like me. I am wonderful. The types of stillness, yes, they're very fascinating and very wonderful. There are many types that just would boggle the mind. People enter into a cave, and the stillness of the cave is so great. And yet, the neighbor who walks in with them as an archaeologist, he hears the cutting into the stone by the ancient man who one time lived there. The archaeologist looks and says, oh, gold! And all these wonderful stones, oh my, what a story they have to tell. And you walk in there and you hear what? Peace. You hear silence. Even though your partner may be shouting, gold! Or an archaeological find. You don't hear him. You don't hear him. You are oblivious. You are completely unaware that anyone has profaned the silence, because it is not the outer silence. It is the inner silence that you've arrived at. And when you arrive at this inner silence, what happens to you? When you arrive at this inner silence, there's nothing that can disturb you. You say, Herb, how long should I sit in meditation? How long should I sit in introspection, in quietness? Herb, how long shall I do this? And the answer is, there is no time. There is no time. You may come back and you may have a wrinkled skin or a long beard because so many years have passed, but it won't matter. But if you do come back like that, I guarantee you, you will not have a wrinkled skin or a beard. You will come back more youthful than you went into it, because you will be entering into that bliss, that silence, that opens the doors of all that you could ever choose to have. Now, I'm painting some pictures for you, and in painting these pictures, you say, oh yes, oh yes, 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 oh yes, 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 I can understand that. But you cannot. You cannot understand that. And the reason you cannot understand it is you did not paint your own picture. And what we are looking to do in this 6-session program, it'll be more like 6 half-hours, what we are attempting to do is to share with you techniques of how to look within yourself and find these beautiful expressions. To look within yourself and find the peace that you are, the joy that you are, the wholeness that you are, the oneness that you are. To find your relationship to your divine self, your relationship to that inner self through introspection. Introspection is listening within. But listening within does you very little good until you learn how to get within to listen. And our journey together will be ideas on how to prepare ourselves to go within and listen, how to prepare ourselves to find that beautiful meadow, that beautiful cave, that beautiful mountaintop, that beautiful busy city street, and be untouched. Because no matter where you go, no matter where I turn, there will always be distractions that will gather my attention and take it away from my inward journey. There will always be the mice running around. Church mice, they call them. There will always be the frogs. We drove back from one side of the ranch here to the other. I was going to say plantation. One side of the ranch here to the other. And as we drove back, frogs were jumping back and forth across the road. You know? Fascinating. And as I walk with Rex in the morning, or anytime I take a walk with him, we have so many guests who want to attract his attention. We have mosquitoes that are big as bombers, you know, and Rex wants to grab them and say hi. And we have rabbits that just sit a foot or two ahead of us and wait for us to get close, and then they just hippity hop off. No fright, no worry. But they're distracting. They take Rex's attention, and mine too, because I'm aware of what's grabbing his attention now. Does that contribute to inner introspection? Does that contribute to peace of mind, to quietness? No. It only contributes to the fact that we have confusion. What types of stillness are you going to do? Esther has been visiting us here on campus now, and Esther says that she wanted to take her backpack and go out into the wilderness here and be still and listen to the divine within. And we all said to her, Esther, why do you want to go? The stillness that you find there, you find here. Now, and then Esther says, well, really, I don't want to go. Now, why did Esther say she wanted to go, and then she was so easily dissuaded, saying she didn't want to go? Because she hadn't made up her mind yet. I have been to many people who were committing suicide. I've been called in as the police and the fire department were doing their thing, and many times before. And I've never lost a suicide person. But I go in, and I say, hey, nobody's going to be concerned in the slightest if you're not here anymore. So why not stay around and make a mark for yourself? Show the world what a glorious person you are. You don't need to show the person what a weak person you are, that you just wanted to get out of it. You had enough. Stay here and be a beautiful addition to the world. And they stayed. And they were beautiful additions to the world. And I would never tell you any of their names, because they are who they are. And each one is a beautiful addition to the world. Some are very outstanding people. Now, you say, well, Herb, if you know all these people and you have all these things going, why don't you be greater than you are? And I say to you, when you open your eyes, you'll see how great I am. And when I open my eyes, I see how great you are. And you're remarkable, all of you, all of you. And now introspection will help you open your eyes to see just how wonderful you are. And that's a beautiful thing. So let's be aware of that now. Let's be aware how this works. Now, we talk about stillness for introspection. We talk about staying in one place. Are you able to stay in one place? Are you able to sit down quietly and listen within and not fall asleep? Are you able to listen to your divine inner self and find it exciting so that the idea of sleep would never even enter your mind, even if you were dead tired? You know, there's a lot of people in this world who are dead tired, and yet when they have to drive home or they have to take care of some emergency, they're wide awake. Well, let your wide awakeness be every time you go into introspection. Every time you find a quiet place to be, do it. Now, Swami Rama was talking to his master one time, and then he had a meditation. And then the master said to him, Swami, are you in meditation? And he said, yes, master. Obviously, he wasn't. If he were in meditation, he wouldn't hear his master speaking. Now, can you sit on the bench at the edge of the garage here and be untouched by the world passing by? There's not too much world passing by there, but can you be untouched? Can you have your eyes open and see the cats go by and not have a warm feeling in your heart for the cats? Can you sit there on the bench at the edge of the garage and hear the cars coming and going and not be curious to know who's coming and who's going and whether you're supposed to be there taking care of them or not? You see, when you go into your introspection and you think you should be answering the phone, you think you should be doing this or you should be doing that, you're not in introspection. You're in a game with yourself of pretending that you're something that you're not. Staying in one place is a beautiful thing, but not necessary. Walking is a beautiful thing, but not necessary. I was talking with Esther again this morning, and I said, you know, Esther, you have to be one-pointed in all that you do. Can you be one-pointed in everything? And she, oh, yes, yes, yes. But how? And I said, when you drive your bike, are you concerned that your feet touch the pedals? Are you concerned where your hands are for the handlebars? Are you concerned where the road is and what you're doing? Most of the time, not. You're very comfortable riding a bike. You feel very pleased with it, and that's in the back of your mind. And then you're looking around, and your bike goes straight ahead. But you see, in a car, we have been told that the car will turn whichever way we look. That's the tendency of the car. It's to turn whichever direction we're looking, even when we're looking sort of not looking, you know. But that doesn't have to be. That's just an old wives' tale that we have made into real life for ourselves. We are the masters. We are not governed or guided by anything outside of ourselves. It's all within. Now, are we going to be guided from within? Are we going to follow that guidance? Or are we going to look without and ask for guidance from without. Turning out the outer. To turn out the outer, we become so familiar with it, we don't think about it. Now, how many times has somebody walked by the door of your office while you're working and you don't hear them? People walk by with high heels and clickety-click, low heels, clickety-click, soft shoes, scruffle-scruffle, and you don't hear them. And then some little puppy dog walks by on the leash. Nothing is said. The puppy dog makes not a sound with his feet, but you sense the dog is there. And your love for dogs is so wonderful that you just know whenever anyone is present. And so immediately you're pulled away from your work to look and see the dog before it gets to your door. And as it walks by, hey, bring that guy in here. He's wonderful, you know. You know it. Now, you see, our consciousness is ready to sleep, is ready to be awake, is ready to do anything we want it to do. But we have to be the ones who are tuning in the outer or tuning it out. Now, I'm suggesting that we tune in the inner. How do you tune in the inner? Do you know how to tune in the inner? Well, number one, you don't. Number one, you just become so peaceful in yourself that there is no inner or outer. You become so peaceful with yourself, so at home with yourself, that there's no distractions in the world. Have you seen some people who have no distractions? You say, well, they're idiots. All right, they're idiots. Can you be an idiot for a while? What is it that makes an idiot? The idiot, we think, has no interest in anything other than himself. The idiot has only one pointed interest in himself. And if anybody's walking by, he doesn't know. A child's an idiot then, when he plays in his playpen or plays in the sandbox, and everybody's walking by and doing things, and he doesn't care. He's got his little cars there, his little city there. He's doing his own thing, and he's shoveling the sand around. And then Mommy comes along and says, Junior, what are you doing? Huh? Junior, what are you doing? Why, Mom? You're throwing the sand out of the sandbox. No, I'm not. Well, yes, you are. Just look at all the sand on the floor here that you threw out of there with your shovel. No, I'm not. Well, what is it then? Well, that's Freddy. Freddy threw it out. And you say, Junior, you're not taking responsibility. But Mom, Freddy did throw it out. And, well, Junior, you're the only one there. No, Freddy's here too. But how could Freddy throw the sand out when he doesn't have a shovel? He told me to do it. Well, then you did throw it out. No, Freddy threw it out. I merely did what he asked me to do. But Junior, you can't talk like that. You have to take responsibility. How long have you been doing that now? What do you mean, Mom? Well, you've been sitting in there for 10 minutes and you've been throwing sand out all 10 minutes. I guess that's how long I've been doing it then. But you see, in his childish innocence, he is in peace, and he's living in this other world with Freddy. Now, is he lying? Did he really create Freddy just so that he could get away with throwing sand out of the sandbox? No, he didn't care. He didn't care. Somewhere in his world, he created the Freddy. Somewhere in his world, he created Freddy telling him to throw the sand out of the sandbox. Somewhere in his world, he did all these things. Now, is that bad or good? You see, what is he doing? He's turning to his inner, and he's listening. Now you say, well, throwing sand out of the sandbox is not really turning to your inner and listening. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That comes in number five. But when you hear, you follow. When you hear the inner speaking, you follow. No judgment. No preconceived idea about it. You just follow what the inner tells you to do. And what happens? When you follow what the inner tells you to do, you may be wrong, and you may be right. Can you ever be wrong if you truly are following what the inner tells you to do? No, you can never be wrong when you truly follow. Well, how do you know when you get to the place of when you truly follow the inner? Well, when you get to that place, the world has no idea what you're doing. You live in such a exemplary quiet bliss that no one even knows what you're doing. No one has any idea what you're thinking. No one has any, but you are there. You are, so to speak, physically there, mentally there. They can touch your body. They can talk to you, and you speak with them, but they don't know what you see. They don't know the illumination that you have. They don't know the Freddies that you have met. They don't know the people that are in your world. No one can know, because it's your inner world. Now you say, Freddy doesn't sound like too good a person in that inner world. Well, why not? Why not? Why not everything be good and very good? Well, Freddy was making him throw sand out. Who said the sand had to be in the sandbox? Who said it had to be out of it? Who said that anything he did was right? Now, if he had thrown the sand out of the sandbox when his mother was not present, nor anyone else was present, what would have happened? Nothing. If a tree falls in the forest and there's no one there to hear it, does it make a noise? You see, we have cones and cones and cones throughout all of our life. And these cones are statements of eternal truth, which boggle the mind, because we try to bring understanding and reason, and there's no reason that they have. They're like a divine experience. They have no reason. Think about that. Stillness for introspection. How do you enter into that stillness for introspection? How do you know what your own stillness is? How do you know what your own introspection is? Now, in our next lesson, we're going to be talking about listening within. Listening to the variety of chatter, being selective of inner viewpoints, being selective of inner pictures, and being selective of inner voices. Now, these should prove to be quite interesting, because we have been selective about a lot of things in our life. And sometimes things are coming up in our life that we wonder why they're there. And perhaps in our next half hour, we will be able to think through some of those thoughts and come up with some real significant meaning as to stillness for introspection and listening within. It's a very wonderful program. It's a very wonderful way to go in our life. And if you're ready to take that journey, be sure to join with us for the next 5 discussions on introspection. I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you. I love you.